You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the weekly leader training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 23, Session 2, The Cost of Following Jesus. All right, Karen, what's this one about?
Well, this one is a good one. It's hard, but we're talking about how following Jesus is not easy, but he is worth it. I love that. It's pretty much a line from the Christ Connection.
Oh, my goodness. And it's so important. So many people with the best of intentions, mm-hmm. and maybe some others that lack the best of intentions, sure. want to make it sound like following Jesus is the solution for all ills, that if you just come to Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, life will be so great. And we know, the big picture, life will be great because we are made new in Christ. We have hope and so forth. But following Jesus is challenging. I'm helping teach a course with adults in my church right now of hard issues. It's Christian ethics, basically. And this is the one thing I keep driving into them. They want answers. They want me to say, this is what you should do. And I said, that's not how it works. Yeah. Discipleship is challenging. Thinking through some of these issues. We know the doctrines. Doctrines, we can say, this is what the doctrine is. Yeah. But how it applies can be messy and difficult. And that's what discipleship is. It's hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we're having this with our kids because we want to present the correct foundation for them. We don't want them thinking as a child that it's easy and at some point realize, oh, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. It really could be a potential for setting kids up to walk away. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've already started to deal with it some, but what other areas of caution or anything that you can think of, extra prep time and so forth, that you can think of, Karen, for preschoolers or in general?
Yeah, I would say definitely just the idea of cost can be a little bit difficult to understand for little ones. So I would just challenge you to use the object lessons that Jesus himself gave us in the story. Jesus was the master teacher, and he used the story of, building and also, the army just to illustrate what cost was. And so I would just encourage you to use that. And two, just to be sensitive as you teach. You want to really help our literal concrete thinkers. Some kids, preschoolers may hear this story and think that they literally have to give up all their toys or give up their family to follow Jesus. And while, that may actually be the case one day, but it probably is not today. So with preschoolers, we're not really calling them to make a decision to follow Jesus today. Like, what our goal with them is to keep putting the gospel in front of them so that, when they're ready to respond, that they have everything there that they need. So I would just be careful with that and, not cause undue stress to little ones with that.
Yeah, and I would jump in there and say, the same truth for kids. This is one of those areas we have to be careful with our words, and sometimes it's hard in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
We can misspeak so easily. But what we want kids understand is really what's at stake here is Jesus saying, you got to be willing. Mm-hmm. And he may, as you said, he may call on us to give up everything. Yeah. We don't want to misspeak and say, well, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying you literally have to give up everything. He may call on somebody to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So we don't want to misspeak either way and say, well, that it doesn't really mean that. But at the same time, we don't want to misspeak and say, this definitely means you will have to do this. It's that, are you willing to? And he may or may not call you to do it. That nuance is so important, especially for preschoolers who are concrete.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Anything else you have for preschool?
Well, this is just to get you prepped. We want to use these, training video or training recordings wisely. But in session 4, there is a assemble care package activity. So I just wanted to put that on your radar. That might be something you want to look ahead at and contact families to donate items for that.
Okay.
So
and a couple of things I would add in warnings in general. First of all, don't misunderstand Jesus in this passage. I think a lot of times we read this, I'm thinking specifically where Jesus tells the man, hey, no, let the dead bury their own dead. When the guy says, hey, let me go bury my father first. And Jesus can sound uncaring or even rude here, but that's not what Jesus is doing here. So let's be careful. for example, that man who said, let me go bury my father first, likely the father was not dead. It's not like, oh, we have the funeral Tuesday. We, you know, can give me a couple of days.
And Jesus is like,
no.
Move it. Yeah.
No, it's likely commentators believe that that father was still alive. He's basically asking for a lot longer of a period of transition. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus responds. He's like, no, no, you got to make a decision now. Things will always pop up. There will always be reasons not to. And I think that's what Jesus is addressing. So keep in mind, when we read words on a page, and these are the inspired words of God, of course, but we lack context. We don't have how it was said. We lack facial expressions, all these other forms of communication that help explain something. So just be careful. Again, it seems like Jesus can be rude here, but I would not say he was. The other thing, and this is a pet peeve of mine, so I'm going to take the opportunity, even though it's not in the content itself, we intimate it. It's on the fringes. When Jesus says to follow him, you got to pick up your cross to follow him. Do not water that down. If you get on this, if you take this with your kids, if you kind of go a little bit extra mile or whatever and cover this passage, this part of it, do not water that down. I hear all the time people saying, well, what's your cross? My cross is I've got whatever. My coworker is my cross I have to bear. You wouldn't believe what it's like to work with him. You know, all these different issues. And then those are problematic, of course. I don't want to minimize those. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about death. The cross was an object of crucifixion or execution for that audience. They would not have heard a coworker. They heard Jesus say, you got to be willing to die.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to keep that in mind here. If we deal with that, or as leaders, I would hope that all the leaders are studying the broader context of the passages. So as you're studying, preparing for this, let that sink in. Don't miss that Jesus is saying, man, you've got to be willing to pick up the cross, follow me. Another part of this is where we see Jesus say you have to hate your parents. And again, we always interpret what is not clear with what's clear.
Yeah.
We know in Scripture it's clear that we are to love parents. We're to love everybody. So Jesus cannot have in mind here a literal hatred of a parent. What does he mean? There are two thoughts. One is, it's often suggested that Jesus is saying, well, your love for him should be so great that your love for your parents seems like hate. Mm-hmm. That could be. The other, I kind of lean toward this one. Love and hate is often used in Scripture for choice. I choose one, I reject the other. I love one, I hate the other one. That's probably what he has in mind here. In my opinion, I think it's more of that hey, he's saying, you got to choose me, even if it means not choosing your parents, because sometimes we know that parents would say, no, I don't want some of us have this experience.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Where
kids,
you know, maybe a grandparent brings a kid or they come on a bus ministry or whatever, and the parents would be like, no, I'm not doing anything to support that.
Yeah.
That kid has made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what's in mind here. So anyway, I just wanted to get on that soapbox for a minute.
Yeah.
Let me get off and sit down and catch my breath.
Great soapbox.
What are you excited about God doing potentially through this session, Karen?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it, and I said that I am humbly proud. And I was like, can I even be humbly proud? I don't know. But just to be part of the Gospel Project for Kids based on this lesson, because, you know, most curriculums for kids, they're going to focus on the happy narratives of the New Testament, which are wonderful, and we need those, and we cover those. But I just really love that we take it a step further, you know, as Jesus himself did, you know, and own up to the fact, you know, following Jesus is definitely not the easy road. Jesus is not going to give you the designer life that you want, because that would not be loving to you. And so when you follow him, you make him Lord, and it's going to cost you everything, but it's totally worth it. And it made me think about a mom I was talking to one time, and she was expressing concern about her son. He didn't want to be baptized, and he said he didn't want to be baptized because there were things he didn't want to give up. And and she was so upset over it. She didn't understand what he meant. And I told her I thought it actually showed a lot of maturity in her son that was lacking in his peers, you know, because we have so much cultural Christianity around us, people who, you know, just play the part on the outside, but their hearts are far from the Lord. And so I think for kids to understand that following Jesus, you know, is setting them up for, you know, hardship. But I think that, we want them to be set up for a life of all-in devotion to Jesus. So, I think we're setting them up for that with this.
And I kind of have the same hope, you know, for this session as well. And I would say, man, if a parent came to me and shared that story with me that their child was resistant because they didn't want to give up, I would celebrate that with them.
For
sure. Or leaders, if you're listening to this and maybe you've been talking with a kid and have a similar, that shows me that kid is understanding the depth of the gospel more.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Walk with them through it. Help them see the beauty of the gospel. Help them see why giving up what they might need to give up is worth it. Give them time to grow into that, but be grateful for that.
Yeah, for sure.
I would rather have that. But yeah, I would just say this again, as we said before, you said it really well just now, Karen, the Bible speaks more about adversity mm-hmm. than prosperity for the believer.
Yeah.
And so we need to love our kids enough to be honest with them and not start them on this path of disillusionment,
yeah.
you know, thinking the wrong things, that God is the cosmic Santa Claus that will just give them what they need if they just do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an important session, maybe a little bit challenging, as you said, that you would rather kind of go to some of the happier, more feel-good, and we get to those too.
Yeah, in this very volume, yeah.
But mm-hmm. I would say without this, those happy, feel-good are not as happy and feel good as they really are.
So true.
Understanding this helps that as well.
For sure.
All right, so let's wrap it up there. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com. Mm-hmm.